All right. So let's dive into it. Parshas Bahar this week. Tav Shanayin Tes. A lot of new ideas in this parsha. Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. Dafka, the pasuk spells out, it was Bahar Sinai. It was the laws of Shemitah every seventh year. All the work on the land of Eretz Yisrael has to cease. And the produce becomes free for the taking. L'cha, la'abdecha, v'la'masecha, by you and your slaves, v'lemtecha, v'la'chaya, for behemos and chayos too, is all free for the taking. And the question, as Rashi puts it, ma'inyan shmita etzel har Sinai, why juxtapose the inyan of shmita with the halachos of har Sinai? Says Rashi, ma shmita nemru kloseh protoseh v'dikdukeh min Sinai, afkula nemru, just like Shemitah was given in full detail by Har Sinai, and so to all mitzvos in full detail are the origins are from Har Sinai. And the question the Farshim ask is why Shemitah? And we can learn that halacha, that all the details of mitzvos are from Har Sinai, from any mitzvah, not just Shemitah. So the Or Chaim answers famously, it's to teach us that we have a connection to Eretz Yisrael, like you were mentioning. Only why do we have a connection to Eretz Yisrael? Only ma'inyan shmita etzel har Sinai. It's to teach us that Eretz Yisrael and Torah are joined at the hip. That without Torah, there's no Eretz Yisrael, and without Eretz Yisrael is a critical part of Torah as well. So it's a very famous Yisrael from the Or HaChaim that this is why we have shmita by har Sinai, to teach us that the two are interwoven in that way. So getting back to the Parsha, after seven cycles of Shemitah, in the 50th year, we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, and we have the concept of Yovel. We stop all work on the land of Eretz Yisrael, all Jewish slaves go free, and you'll come close, we're going to have a chabura tonight. And all the sales of land in Eretz Yisrael revert back to their ancestral ownership. And Parshas Bahar also contains many other halachos, including how is one allowed to sell his land. We prorate the price via how much time is left until Yovel, until it reverts back anyway. We have halachos about not misleading people in business, halachos against onah and fraud. We have who can redeem sold property, whether it's the seller himself or his relative, versus who can't until Yovel. We have the halach of ribis, which we're going to talk about tonight, not charging interest to a fellow Jew on a loan. The halachos of treating all avodim, slaves, humanely and with respect, lo sir debo b'farech. The halachos of how to redeem a Jew from a non-Jewish owner. And Hashem reminds us about avodah zarah, lo sasu lachem elilim, and shmir Shabbos, the Shabbos osai tishmoru. So, Bahar is a very, meat and potatoes-oriented parsha. A lot of transactional halacha, business halacha, how land is allowed to be dealt with, how slaves are allowed to be dealt with, when you can utilize your ownership, when you can't, with Shemitah and Yovel. The Torah is teaching many variations of halachos regarding a person's ownership of different things in the world and how that all works. And the question is, why is that all lumped together here in Parshas Bahar? And I think the Parsha says it itself. Ki li haaretz, ki avadayhem, ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim avadayhem. It's to remind us that everything's from Hashem. All of our lives and our possessions are from Hashem. They're borrowed from Him. And the Parsha is designed to put that in perspective for us. The Jewish view on wealth and ownership and materialism, that's the crux of Parshas Bahar. So let's dive in. Let's take a magnifying glass to some of these in Yonim and see what we can learn. So like we mentioned, the headline mitzvah on page Aleph is Shemitah, the headline mitzvah of Bahar. And Shemitah has a special prominence this week. The halachos of how to work Eretz Yisrael properly, which is dafka right before the tochacha next week. The curse is next week, as the Mefarshim explained, to teach us how important this mitzvah is, lest we think otherwise. Failure to observe the halachos of Shemitah properly, failure to pay heed to how it's written in Parshas Bahar, leads one to Churban and Golus, which we discuss next week in Parshas Bechukosai. And even historically, it's proven out, right? The 70 years of Golus between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni were keneged the years of Shemitah that they weren't kept properly in while they were inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. So what we see, simply put, is that Shemitah is a big deal. It behooves us to ask the question of what's the svara behind Shemitah? What's underlying it? What makes that mitzvah so chashuv? So that's where we'll start tonight. So the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim says it's a practical standpoint, right? The land needs to rest. Just like a person, we have a long week, we get exhausted, and if we don't rest over Shabbos, we don't yield as much on Monday. So the Rambam says the same thing. The earth also gets, the nutrients get depleted, whatever science is involved. But Shemitah is meant to give the land a Shabbos every 7 years, lest it stop producing. This is a very practical answer from the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, that if we didn't have Shabbos, we'd be exhausted, so too the earth we live on. Most Mefarshim argue on the Rambam, how could, a good Eitzah in agriculture be the pillar of Torah, right? So much that it brings golus if it's not kept properly. How could sound agricultural tactics be considered, like the Pasuk says, it's Shabbos LaShem, Shemitah is Shabbos Lashem. How could, you know, if it's just an agricultural thing, it must be something deeper than that. So the Ramban mentions it's a zecher, it's a remembrance to Bria Sa'olam, to the creation of the world, that just as we work for 6 days and we rest on the seventh to remind us of Hashem's presence in our lives, so too the world arrests every 7 years to remind us that Hashem created the world, and just like He created us and He sholeit on our lives, so too created the world, and Hashem is sholeit on the physical earth itself. And that's why it's so chamor, right? That's why it can bring about things like golus, because if you don't follow the halachas of Shemitah, you're denying Hashem's involvement in the Bria Sa'olam, which is a big deal. I want to also highlight tonight a famous Kli Yakar. He says on these psukim, he says, "Omer ani shetam mitzvah zu hi lahashris es Yisrael b'midas ha'emunah v'bitachon b'Hashem." Shemitah is to hone our emunah skills, right? Lest we say things like, "Kochi va'otzem yadi asa li esachayel azeh," that I'm the driver of my own life. I accumulate my own wealth. So Hashem gives us this this gift once every 7 years that we stop our own hishtadlus, we stop working the land, and we rely on Hashem for our parnasa. So the pasuk says, "What are we going to eat?" Ma nochal b'shana hashvius. But the Sfas Emes famously says, "Ma nochal." The words "ma nochal." What are we going to eat? Our rashi tevos mem nun mon. Manochal is Rashi Tevos Mun. We'll eat Mun, like Bnei Yisrael did in the Midbar. In other words, Hashem is going to provide for us. So the Sfas Emes. So the essence of Shemitah is to teach Emunah and Bitachon, that yes, we do Ishtadlus, Hashem is behind, but Hashem is behind it all. He takes care of us when we can't, or in this case, when we don't take care of ourselves because of Shemitah. And Shemitah demonstrates that. It's a truly valuable thing. It's a crash course in Emunah and Bitachon. So this idea is actually echoed in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says it outright. My time with the Shvi also. What's the reason of Shvius, of Shemitah? Kidei shetedu she'aretz shalihi. It's to teach us that Hashem is running the show. And that's why Shemitah is so chamor. And a failure to uphold the halachas of Shemitah can lead to terrible things like churban and golus. And because without emunah and bitachon, that Hashem is behind it all, if we put our eggs in our own basket, that He takes care of us when, you know, and we take care of ourselves, without any acknowledgement of Hashem's hashkacha, it's mida keneged mida. Hashem in turn, chas v'sholom, might turn away from us. And that's the source of things like Churban and Golus. So bring it back to us, Jews who are not farmers, and moreover, Jews who don't live in Eretz Yisrael at this point in our lives. Nonetheless, the Svara of Shvius, of Shemitah, is still relevant to us. And if we work to strengthen our Amunah, that Hashem is behind every element of our lives, if we embody a bitachon, that Hashem's Hashkach in the world is a practical reality and not just a philosophical idea, then Bezer Hashem, we should be zochet to all the brachos of Bechukosai next week, and Chas v'Shalom, the tochachos of Bechukosai next week. So that's the svara, some of the shitos in terms of the underpinnings of Shemitah. So let's continue along the line. The Torah goes weiter and anticipates a very logical and natural human response to not being able to work the land for a full year. The pasuk says, "V'chisomru manochal b'shana shviyis hein lo nizra v'lo nasef es tuasenu." What am I going to eat if I'm not allowed to work the land and I'm not able to gather my produce? My family is going to starve. So the Torah says, no, Vitzivisi es birchasi lachem bashana ashishish, ve'asas es hatvua l'shalosh hashanim. The sixth year will have extra bracha, that you'll have surplus that'll last for year seven, and also for year one of the next cycle, because it takes time to get the land up and running once Shemitah's over. So in other words, the Torah is telling everyone, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hashem will provide. Hashem will make a miracle. Hashem will intervene in nature and make sure that everyone is fed. No one's going to starve from keeping this halacha. So question number one, the Torah uses the lashon of v'chi somru. What does v'chi mean? Right? Two options. It could mean if you have this concern, if you have this question, mashma that not every Jew does, that the typical Jew is a Baal Bitachon and he's going to trust in Hashem. Or you could say v'chisom ruz means when you have this concern. Mashma, the typical Jew won't have this Bitachon and it's natural to have this human response of how am I going to feed my family? So that's the question. So there's a fundamental, you know, like bedrock of Judaism, Nitziv, in Haimik Davar on this pasuk, and he's addressing this question. He says, "Be'emes kol ze'enu elamai senes." The fact that Eretz Yisrael doesn't starve and go into poverty via the fulfillment of Shemitah is nothing short of a nes, a miracle. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work in the natural world without supernatural assistance. That's poshut. So we've established that much. Shemitah is a nes. But says in the Tziv, "V'yadua de derech nes." Einu roi el lefiha chana lekach. Right, we have a general klal that maybe big tzaddikim, the gdoli hador, they can be somchan al anes because they have that lofty level connection with Hashem. So, like for example, Yosef HaTzadik, who was punished for trying to get out of prison himself, he should have had emunah that Hashem will take him out miraculously. But he's Yosef HaTzadik. For him, that kind of, you know, somchan al anes was roi for him. It says in the Tziv, the stam person for us, the regular Jew, miracles are not roi for us. We have the principle of ein somchan al anes. You and I are not expected by halacha to live our lives in a manner that we're dependent on a miracle to ensure our survival. right? We certainly daven for Hashem's help. We daven three times a day. But to dafka structure our lives in that we're dependent on a nace to be able to get through and to put food on the table, that's just that's a lofty thing that Stam Jews are not chayev to embody. We do our ishtadlis, we take the steps we need, and we daven to Hashem. That's how a good Jew lives his life. So what's going on with Shemitah? Shemitah is exactly the opposite. We're structuring our lives in the seventh year to dafka go bankrupt, to starve, and we're relying on a miracle. So it says in the Tziv, how can we do such a thing? And moreover, how can Hashem command us to do such a thing? So answers in the Tziv, an amazing thing. I'll read one line. You'd think that Shemitah is only for the big tzaddikim, who have this this nace relationship with Hashem. Right? It's not true. Shemitah is for every Jew, even the Hamon Am. In other words, it's meaning what he's saying is like this. I think it's like this. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have doubt. The Pasuk is saying it's okay to say, Ma nochal, how am I going to survive? Umishum hachi pirsha kasu v'chi somru bashana ashvias ma nochal. Right? V'chi, our original question. What does it mean? It doesn't mean if. He's saying it means when. You will have these questions. The Tziv is saying it's natural for a Jew to have these questions. The Pasuk is acknowledging that it's okay to have these questions. And the answer is that Hashem will provide. V'tzivisi es birchasi lachem. Through how? Through Ashgacha Pratis, through the natural Tev of the world. The crop will be more in the sixth year and you'll get by. So what's the Yisod? We learned an amazing thing from this Netziv. And I've learned a lot of Shirim that quote this Netziv, that this is the Jewish perspective on miracles. That Hashem doesn't expect us to be superhuman. Human beings will act human. We're expected to act human. When faced with starvation or bankruptcy, a person is not going to say, no ishtalos on my part. Hashem's got it, Hashem's got it taken care of. Nor are we expected to say that. We can question, we can try and plan ahead to the best of our ability to make sure that we're doing our part to stay above water. And to this Jew who asked these questions, the Pasuk says, "Vitzivisi es birchasi lachem." For you too. You will be zoche to b'derech hashkacha pratis b'derech hateva, through the basic nature of the world, to nisim. Just because you're not somchen al anes doesn't mean you're not zoche to anes. So the lesson is, very often, we find ourselves maybe questioning our own emunah, right? Sometimes we have moments of weakness where we think things we shouldn't, or we do something that we shouldn't, and it comes from an uncertainty that Hashem is genuinely taking care of us. But this Pasuk, this Yisod of Shemitah, is teaching us it's okay. We're not expected to be perfect all the time, to be somchal anes. Hashem recognizes that. Hashem recognizes our humanity. And we all have questions. It's just a matter of v'chi, when. The main thing is just to keep working, to push through that doubt and keep pursuing the ultimate truths of Torah and to be kind in the halachas of Shemitah and every halacha to the best of our ability with our questions and with our fears. And if we do that, if we embody, Jews that chase after Hashem despite our questions, if we embody Shemitah Jews, Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to see miraculous rewards for these efforts. Vitzivisi es berchasi lachem. That's the Torah perspective on Nisim and Bitachon, and we learn it out from Shemitah. It's a very powerful lesson in perseverance. So one of the other inyanim discussed in our parasha is the topic of a Jew in poverty. What to do when a fellow Jew of our brother of ours falls on hard times. Says the Pasuk, Ki amucha chicha, a fellow Jew becomes poor, umachar me'achuza so voga lo akarov elav v'ga'ales bimkarachiv. And he has to sell some of his achuza, some of his land in Eretz Yisrael, his ancestral land. There's a mitzvah to redeem it, to get it back for him prior to Yovel, to keep it in the family. And in the same vein, a few psukim later, he becomes poor. There's a mitzvah to be mechazek him. Ger v'toshav v'chayimach. And even if he needs to live with you for a certain amount of time, is a mitzvah to let him live with you. So certainly, from a pashup shot, if a Jew is struggling, whether it's financially or otherwise, pashup shah, common sense, our parsha clearly, delineates our responsibility to help, to offer tzedakah, to offer food, babysitting, if they lost a job, chas v'shalom, to offer networking opportunities and to get back on his feet, or even just to be a friend, a person to talk to. That's, bedrock stuff of what being a mensch is all about. And we need to make sure that we fit that profile, that we embody that kind of a person. That's the ABCs of Judaism. On a deeper level, though, what I want to mention is Torah's Chassidus offers a couple of ideas that go deeper into these psukim beyond the pashup shot of just being a mensch, and I wanted to highlight a few. The first idea that's quoted very often is from the Noam Elimelech, from Rav Elimelech of Lizhensk, and he says, "Ki yamu chachicha," when a Jew becomes poor, it can certainly mean physically poor, financially poor, but it could also mean poor in ruchnius. Umachar me'achuza, so he sold off his achuza, he sold off his mitzvos, he's moved away from Torah to a certain extent. We have a chiyuv to help him find his way back, to be makarif him. Uva galo hakar. Hakarov Elov, Vigaal Esmim Karachiv. We fellow Jews, we are the Goalo Hakarov Elov. We are his relatives who have an achrayus to redeem him. So it says in Noam Elimelech, from here is one of the Makaros for Kiruv. And not even just Kiruv for, you know, non-frum people, but even for frum Jews, right? We all go through tough times in Ruchnias from time to time. The Pasuk is teaching us what to do, that it's the achrayus of the community of each Jew within his Dalet Amos to help that Jew going through a tough time in Ruchnias to get over the hump. That's what we need to model ourselves by. And to use the words of the Noam Elimelech, Uva golo akarav ilo v'galas mim kar achiv hu atzadik. Hakarav ilo v'ganedim v'iskashus nishmasu mishosh echad v'galas mim kar achiv. The role of a tzadik is what? She siyu v'yazru lifrosh atzma me'olam hashefel hazev v'ledavik atzma be'olam se'elyonim. Right? The role of a tzadik is to be mimkar achiv, the Jew who uplifts others to a higher plateau of Kedusha. So Amir Tashem, we can all embody that, to embody the tzadik. The second pshat is I want to talk is a second idea I saw from the Sfas Emes, the second Ger Rebbe. Ki yamuch achicha, when a Jew becomes poor, is also referring to someone who is spiritually poor, whether it's someone who's not frum or say is frum, but he doesn't have the background in learning. Maybe they're lacking in certain chachmos, as he writes. It says the Sfas Emes, based on the Medrash, Hashem. We know that Hashem gives us everything we need in our lives. He says, "Va'kodesh baruch hu mashpia b'chol yom lekal abriya kol etzdarcho shulahem heim benefesh heim beguf v'alzem mivarchen hazon es ha'olam kulo." Right, Hashem gives us everything we need, and that's why we say in benching hazon es ha'olam kulo. How we get everything we need, though, is another matter. Hashem doesn't always give it to us. You don't have Jews just winning the lottery or waking up one morning and hopping all of Shas. It doesn't work that way. Hashem doesn't always give us all the bracha that he's designated for us. So how, if it's designated for us, how is our parnasa and our ruchnias delivered to us? That once Hashem has sent it into the world, he says, "Rak shemekablin srichen l'sached v'losei zeb zeb achdus echad v'ein zeh mechusar davar." It comes from each other. We deliver the brachos to our fellow Jews. We are supposed to be delivering it through Achdus and Chesed. So Hashem sends it, but we are UPS, right? It's our job to make sure that Ruchnias and Parnasa finds their way to their intended targets. That's Pshat and V'chiyamuch Achicha, and then V'chezakdabo. Says the Sfas Emes, that we as human beings have an unbelievable ability to learn from each other and give to each other and have a hashpa on each other. And if we do that, if we connect to other Jews in this way, to not just give them, but to receive from them as well, we're acting as Shluchei Hashem in getting Hazan Es HaOlam Kulo to the right places. So example, so Ruvain may have financial means, he may be rich. And Shimon may have spiritual means. He's a big Talmud Chacham, he's a big tzaddik. So in the Pasuk, the Sfas Emes is saying, Hashem is urging us in these psukim in Parshas Bahar, ki yamuch achicha, to make a shidduch between Reuven and Shimon. Reuven should help Shimon with his financial means. Reuven delivers that bracha from Hashem to Shimon. Shimon is meant to help Reuven with ruchnias dikta things, so Shimon delivers that bracha from Hashem to where it's supposed to go, to Reuven. That's how the system is supposed to work. And then what? Both Reuven and Shimon are now wealthy. Neither of them is impoverished anymore. Reuven got what he needs from Shimon. Shimon got what he needs from Reuven. And that's how Hashem delivers it. That was the intent. It only works, though, if there's achdus between them. If UPS and FedEx and the postal service go on strike, then Amazon's in big trouble. And the same thing here. If we have no achdus, if we don't help each other out, then Hashem has no delivery mechanism for bracha into this world. So Mir Tashem, we can embody this, to always help other Jews in need, whether financially or ruchnias. And in doing so, realize that we're not just being nice people, but much more that we're mamish delivering the will of Hashem into the world. And thereby, we can be the vehicle that Hashem bestows upon all of us as well in abundance of bracha and hatzlacha. So another fundamental idea introduced in Parshas, back in Parshas Mishpatim, but it's stressed again in our Parsha, is the Isser of Ribis. The Pasuk says, Al tikach mi'ito neshech v'sarbis v'yareisa me'lokecha v'chei achicha imach, and then later is kaspecha lo sitein lo b'neshech v'marbis ribis lo sitein ochlecha. You should allow your fellow Jew to live with you in a reasonable way. How so? What's reasonable? By not charging him interest on a loan that you provide for him. So the question that many ask, basic logic, basic intuition about ribis, this is common sense. If you purchase something from me, you pay for it. If I provide you with a service, you pay me for it. Basic business transactions. There's no isser at all. The Torah is fine and dandy with a Jew conducting business with other Jews. And we have laws that govern that. That's what Choshen Mishpat's about. But none of those laws say that you can't earn profit for a service provided, right? So the question is, if I give you my shovel for you to get utility out of it, right? Why can I accept payment for that? But if I give you money, which is a loan for you to get utility out of that, there under no circumstances I can't accept payment for that. It's an Isser Daraisa. So how is my money different? That is like a theological question. How is my money different than my shovel? You need to dig a hole. You don't have a shovel. I do. So I'm giving it to you. Now you do. And I can accept payment. Thank you. But here, in this other case, you don't have short-term cash. I provide you with short-term cash as a loan. Why can't I get payment for it? Just that you need something, I have it. Service to you, payment. But not by money, not by ribbis. That's the intuitive problem with ribbis. The Torah makes it sound immoral, like I'm taking advantage of another Jew by charging him interest, like it's some shady business practices. But it's not. It's not. Logically, it's basic business. Payment for service provided. That's, you know, every MBA program. That's it. So the question is, the whole Yesod seems irrational. Of course it's not. The Torah is just. But we need to understand the pnimius of ribbis from a logical standpoint. And before we dive into it, the Torah makes it sound, like I said, that ribbis is immoral, like it's a shady business practice, like it's a chosh and mishpat issue. But if that were true, it should apply universally, right? Any human being lending to any other human being should be subject to ribbis. But it's not true. The pasuk says, "Es kaspecha lo siten lo b'neshech." The issue of ribbis only applies by one Jew lending to another Jew. But a Jew to a guy or a guy to a Jew, feel free. You know, gouge away. Go ahead and jack up the interest rate in pursuit of a profit. So how do we explain it? If it's wrong, it should be wrong for everyone. That's question number two. So these two questions are addressed by Rav Shamshon Raphael Hirsch, who teaches us something very clear about money. And when the Isser of Ribbis is first introduced, it's not this week, it was originally introduced back in Parshas Mishpatim, the Pasuk says, Lo sisimun alav neshech. So what's noticeable about this? Sisimun. It's interesting lashon. Sisimun is lashon rabim, in the plural. That you as a community should not charge your fellow Jew interest on a loan. So what does that mean? You know, the community didn't give him the loan. He didn't get it from like a gemach. I gave him the loan. I'm the creditor. So why is the pasuk talking about ribbis to the larger tzibur? And also the ani, the person, the Jew who needed the loan. The pasuk says es ha'ani imach. Imach also is lashon rabim. He's with you as a tzibur. So this is a one-on-one business transaction. So what's the pasuk doing introducing lashon rabim? So says Rav Hirsch, very simple. That if the money were truly ours, could we lend it out with ribbis? Of course. Just like our shovel. Can we lend it out and get paid? Absolutely. But it's not. Our money, says, is a basic concept. Our money is not our own. That we are a shomer of the chunk of money belonging collectively to the Jewish people. Right? What we have in our bank account is what Hashem saw fit for us to watch over in our lifetime. But it's not ours. So that being said, what's going on here when I make a loan? I'm merely transferring funds that belong collectively to Klal Yisrael from my shmira to the shmira of another Jew. So for that, can we charge interest? Of course not. To take compensation for a transition of shmira is ridiculous. It's cutting off our nose in spite of our face. It's like, you know, JP Morgan transferring it from their bank in New York City to their bank in Miami. They're not going to charge interest to one another. It's ridiculous. It's the same company. It's the same money. And it's not just absurd, it's usur. Why? Because to do such a thing is not in the spirit of, you know, we're all in this together. All Jews are bearers of this money. When you charge interest, you're refuting a basic truth by trying to pocket some of that profit on the side. And you have no personal right to what you gave away any more than the person who you gave it to. So it's a dereliction of our duty that we all have to help each other out via the collective pool of assets that belongs to Klal Yisrael. So, what do we see? That when a Jew makes a loan to another Jew, it's not a loan, it's an achrayis. That money is there, you have it, in order to help the person out. That's the purpose. So for you to profit off that, for you to, you know, say that my bias over this is greater than yours, that's an egregious thing. And that's why the pasuk says, es ha'ani mach lo sisimun, all these lashonos rabim, to stress the tzibur aspect when it comes to money. And this is why the issur ribbis dissolves when one of the parties is not Jewish. Then it's not this collective, you know, assets. It's not this yesod of collective responsibilities. Then eichanami, we've now entered the secular world of a loan. And one party does have the right to charge interest to another party for a service he's providing. Logic. Just like lending you my shovel. So that's, according to Rav Hirsch, that's the pnimius, that's the inner essence of ribbis. It's an eye-opening thing, really. So, you know, what's the lesson to us? What's the lesson to us? The ribbis, the issur ribbis, is dafka intended to enforce a very fundamental thing. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, kol Yisrael areven zel hazeh. If we live by these principles, achdus, responsibility for one another, chesed for one another, not charging interest by helping a fellow Jew out of a need, it's not a chiddush. It's not irrational as we had initially surmised. Not charging interest is common sense. And says Rav Hirsch, this ties in nicely with he says this ties in nicely with the main theme of the parsha, which is Shemitah and Yovel. Land is not ours. Avodim is not ours. It's all from Hashem, and Hashem reminds us of this periodically by taking it all back. So. So Mirtzah Hashem, we can embody this, the pnimius of what it means to have money, the privilege of being a member of Klal Yisrael, and the responsibilities that comes with it. And that's close. Hashem should always feel comfortable trusting us to be the shomrim of that collective money, and to be the shomrim of nothing but bracha and hatzlacha. So in our parsha, we also discuss the inyan of Yovel. That after seven Shemitah cycles, Yovel's the 50th year, we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur, and in that Yovel year, we don't work the land. But more than that, Vishavtem Ishal Achuzaso V'Ishal Mishpachto Tashuvu. All Jewish slaves go free, all land sold in Eretz Yisrael during the past 50 years reverts back to its Achuza, to its ancestral ownership. So just like we did at the beginning of the Chabura, we explained the essence of Shemitah, the underpinnings, the Svar of Shemitah. Let's do it again now. What's the Pnimius of Yovel? So as a starting point, we have the Maral in Gur Aryeh on this Parsha. We mentioned that Yovel is ushered in when we blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. And that's by design, because there's a connection between Yovel and Yom Kippur. How so? Says the Maral, Ki ha-Yovel v'Yom Kippurim shneim davar echad. They're the same thing. Ki ha-Yovel hu chazaris hakol chezkaso harishona lios Kivrishona. V'chein Yom HaKippurim. Hakol chozer l'cheskaso harishon shu yizbarach mechaper aleim v'chozum l'cheskashim harishona. On both days, Yovel and Yom Kippur, the essence is returning to our cheskaso harishona, our origins, returning to how we were meant to be and to the deepest part of who we are, be'etzem, says the Maral. And on Yom Kippur, so how does it work? On Yom Kippur, it's via tshuva and tefillah and tzedakah. We're ma'virin es ra'a gzera. We hit the reset button with Hashem. V'chozrin l'chez kasam harishona. We revert back to a state of tahara and innocence and connection with Hashem like we were always meant to be, like we were when we were young and full of passion and energy. And on Yovel, it's the same thing, but it's avodim who get a fresh start on their lives. All families recoup their rightful nachlos, their original inheritance that was given to them by Hashem themselves. Chazeres ha'kol. That's the Lashon. That's the essence of Yovel as well. The essence of Yovel, like Yom Kippur, is we all go home again. It's time for all Jews, like on Yom Kippur, to hit the reset button, and it should imbue us with a renewed sense of energy to rekindle the Ruchnius that we've always had. That's the Maral. A similar pshat is from the Shemi Shmuel, similar but a little bit different. He says that in order to understand Yovel, we need to understand what distinguishes Yovel from Shemitah. That's what he says. So at face value, they seem very similar. On Shemitah, we don't work the land. And so too on Yovel, we don't work the land. But this says the Shemi Shmuel, by Shemitah, we're dealing a lot tonight with Yochid and Rabim, right? On Shemitah, Shekol HaParshios HaShemitah Nemnu B'Loshon Yochid. Shemitah is always discussed in the Torah in Loshon Yochid. Sadcha lo sizra, v'charmecha lo sizmor. But by Yovel, it's lashon rabin, right? V'kidashtem es shnas ha-chamishim shana, ukrasem deror, baritz l'chol yoshvel, right? Yovel hi tiyel lochem, v'shavtem, right? And then it says also, lo sizro, v'lo sikzeru es sifichel, v'lo sivzeru es nizra, all lashon rabin. So what's the significance of the chiluk between lashon rabin by Yovel and lashon yachid by Shemitah? So says the Shemi Shmuel, he says, Shemitah is spoken to Klal Yisrael as a whole, as one unit. And even though many amongst Klal Yisrael are not perfect, when Hashem views us all as a unit, Klal Yisrael is indeed perfect, right? Berovam Hadras Melech, the importance of Tefillah B'Tzibur. Why? The Hashem cannot ignore Jews when they aggregate into a cohesive unit. That's Shemitah, says the Shemi Shmuel. Yovel is Lashon Rabim. Why? Because after seven cycles of Shemitah, seven cycles of being joined and viewed with the Kehillah, at this point Hashem says to each Jew, you've reached the point, you've now built yourself up enough that you can stand on your own. And it's now time for you as an individual to come back to the source of Kedusha. So yes, Yovel is similar to Shemitah. It's about hitting the reset button. It's about remembering where we come from and remembering where we're going. It's a perspective reminder that Hashem's Hashgacha reigns over everything, just like Shemitah. But by Shemitah, we do this as a Kehila. Whereas by Yovel, Hashem expects each of us personally to make that leap. So by Yovel, Hashem is viewing each Jew as his or her own unit, and that's why it's B'Lashon Rabim, because he's speaking to all of those units as a large number, but on a very personal one-to-one basis. So what's the takeaway for us? So the Shemi Shmuel says, this, I don't have to come up with the takeaway myself. The Shemi Shmuel says, what's the takeaway? This is very, very relevant to the Tkufa of the year where we find ourselves, right? He quotes from the Zohar Kadosh that there's Dafka, a connection between Yovel, the 50th year, and Shavuos, the 50th day. How so? Just like Shemitah, making the leap of Emunah as a Kehillah, builds up to Yovel, making that leap as a yachid, as an individual. So to Pesach, we have that connection to Hashem, but if it's from a place of tremendous tumah in Mitzrayim, we weren't quite there yet. So Hashem needed to relate to us as a kahila in order to merit geula. That's dafka why the Karban Pesach, he says, is brought as a chabura. We need a chabur to bring the Karban Pesach because that's the only way that we have enough schusim to warrant geula. And so too, that kufa of Pesach then builds up to Shavuos, when we're finally, hopefully, when we're finally ready, and we should all be ideally built up to stand before Hashem at Kabbalah Satorah by ourselves. So Be'ez Hashem, we can internalize this. We have 2 more weeks to go till Shavuos, and we see from here is that we need to be using this time of Sfiras HaOmer for what it's there for, to embody the lessons of Yovel and Shemitah, to use this time to build ourselves up in Ruchnius Dika things, in Torah and Mitzvos, to try and return as much Lios Kirishona to our original Chazaka, such that when Shavuos comes, we're ready. We're ready to stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam as individuals, and to make that ultimate leap back to the way things are supposed to be. And last idea for tonight. We said in the beginning, Bahar discusses a Jew who needs to sell himself into slavery because of his financial situation. The pasuk says, "V'chi sasig yad ger v'soshav imach umach achicha imo v'nimkar leger toshav." Right? If there's a ger toshav, a ger toshav is a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He lives according to the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and he gets rich from a Jew. And thereby the Jew gets poor from him. He's not able to pay back his debts. So he sells himself off as a slave to that Ger Toshav. He goes free at Yovel. That's the Jew who goes free at Yovel. But even prior to Yovel, there's a mitzvah, Acharei Nimkar, Geula Tialo Echad Me'achav Yigalenu. There's a mitzvah for his fellow Jews or his relatives to redeem him, to buy him out of his slavery as soon as they can afford it financially. Right? That's how, and so the question is, how much do they pay back to the Ger Toshav? How is the amount calculated? As the pasuk says, Kifi Shanav Yashiv Es Gulaso. It's prorated. It's prorated. The amount from then till Yovel. So if he owed $10,000 when he sold himself because he couldn't pay back, and there were 10 years to go in till Yovel, and now 5 years later, half the time has gone until Yovel comes, we're halfway there, so he or his relatives would now owe the prorated amount of $5,000 to the Ger Toshav in order to get him back, to redeem, to set him free at that earlier point before Yovel. Fine, that's the halacha. So on this mitzvah, on these psukim, there's a very famous idea from the Chafetz Chaim, and we'll end with this, who says as follows. Let's read it inside a little bit, because we have a few minutes. Min ha-parsha zos anu lomdim, sha'al yisya'e sha'odom min ha-ge'ula. Right? V'chein lo yifla beinenu, eich efshar hadavar shidorenu yiske lemashlo zachu doros ha-kodmin, shechayu mizrozin harbe yoser letoru mitzvos. We're all familiar with the concept of yiridus hadoros. Right? That subsequent generations, as we get further and further away from Sinai, are on a lower level in spirituality and Torah. So the philosophical question that is asked all the time is, how is Mashiach going to come in our lifetimes when it didn't come for the Chafetz Chaim, when it didn't come for the Vilna Gaon, when he didn't come for the Rambam, and for countless other tzaddikim who are on much higher levels, much higher plateaus of Kedusha than we are? It didn't happen for them, but it's going to happen for us. How likely is that? And sometimes it can get us, a little depressed when we look at the state of affairs of the Jewish people in Tavshin Ayin Tes. We see a lot of things that are not so great. And how is this going to turn out? How is Mashiach ever going to come with the way things are in our lives? How are things going to get better? You know, look at us compared to the lofty Jews who came before us, and they didn't even get Mashiach. They got the Holocaust. So how are we going to get Mashiach? Says the Chafetz Chaim, we learn the answer from this parsha. Al Yisyosh. Ha'adam min ha-geula. A person should not despair. A person should not think these thoughts that the geula will not happen in his lifetime. Why? Because Hashem is not waiting for the most righteous generation of all time to bring Mashiach. That's not how it works. How does it work? How does it work? Like Yovel. Eventually there will be a geula, like Yovel. Eventually year 50 will happen when we all revert back to our original source, just like Eretz Yisrael by Yovel. But even while we wait for that time, prior to then, the door is open to us. How so? Kifi shanav yashiv es gulaso. Our geula, just like the geula of the Jewish slave, is what? Is prorated. What does that mean? That if Mashiach was 1 billion zchuyos from coming 500 years ago, all this time, the Chafetz Chaim, and the Rambam, and the Vilna Gaon, and all the tzaddikim before us have been whittling down that number closer and closer to zero all these years, paying down that debt. And now, for all we know, we're pretty close to the finish line. So is there Yiridus Hadoros? Absolutely. Unquestionably. Those who came before us have done most of the heavy lifting to get us to this point. But the Chafetz Chaim says we shouldn't despair. Because even us at our level can potentially get Klal Yisrael across the finish line, right? To rack up the requisite mitzvos and maisim tovim in Hashem's eyes for Hashem to finally say, all right, You know, it's time. We can do that, says the Chafetz Chaim. Every person should believe that they have it within their power to get the Jewish people across the finish line. We don't know what the debt is. We don't know what the magic number is. But that power, that possibility is in our hands. So we should push for it with our strength and our passion. Because what a schus it would be if our generation was the one to get the Jewish people across the finish line. Can you imagine such a thing? So Mirtz Hashem, we'll end with this, that you give us some chizik for our emunah and our bitachon as we head towards Shavuos. Don't think that your mitzvos are meaningless. Don't think that my mitzvos and my Torah is meaningless. On the flip side, don't think my suffering is meaningless either. Don't think that the tears that I've shed over the course of my life are meaningless. Because, you know, who am I? Who am I? Look who came before me. It's a wrong attitude. And, you know, it's the wrong attitude to have. Not so says the Chafetz Chaim. Every Jew might hold the key. Every Jew holds the potential to bring Mashiach because, says the Chafetz Chaim, it's a numbers game. It's a numbers game. And our generation, Bezer Hashem, can be the ones to finally get the whole world across the finish line. And we'll end with that. Shabbos. Okay.